Welcome to Lähiradio's AA Radio. My name is Krista and I'm a sober alcoholic. Today we are in Italupa, which means Italian Young People in AA. This is a convention and today we are in Bologna. With me there's three alcoholics and just so that we know that what this all is about, Simon is going to read the preamble. Go ahead, Simon.
Sure. Hi, my name's Simon. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, Simon.
And this is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thank you. And we could actually go now around the table and have an introduction round. So I'm Krista and I'm an alcoholic and I'm from Finland.
Hi Krista.
Hi Krista.
Hi.
My name is Simon. I'm an alcoholic and I traveled to Italy here from England.
Hi Simon.
Hi Simon.
I'm Pierce. I'm an alcoholic. I traveled from the United States. So.
Hi Pierce. Hi, America. I'm an alcoholic, and I am the only one Italian here.
Hi, Erika. Hi. And it's so nice to have you all here. And Young People in AA stands for basically anybody who has room to grow, so we don't have any age limits or anything regarding this matter, but it's just the convention, and maybe the age, therefore, is a little bit lower. What do you say, Simon? Is this... you have been involved in many young people in AA or UPA stuff. So how do you find these conventions and how did you actually find your way into UPA conventions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am the first ever Young People's AA convention I went to was in Sweden. And it was because a Al-Anon was telling me that if we hadn't experienced the Young Persons Convention, how are we going to host one? In 2016, Bath was the winning location for hosting what's called EuRePA, which stands for the European Convention for Young People in AA. And yeah, this Al-Anon was telling me, it cannot be described. It can only be experienced. I will not do it justice. I felt so offended that an Al-Anon was telling me, you know, I needed to experience this thing, that I decided to go to Sweden, which was the next upcoming convention. And I'd never been to a young person's convention before. I traveled to Sweden and there was quite a lot of young people. I'd never been in a place where there was so many young people there. And they were dancing and eating food together. And I was hooked after that. Yeah, I became addicted to Young People's AA. And it just felt nice to feel part of a bit more and to have that increased identification with people who also got sober young, like me. I got sober when I was 25 and I'm 9 years and 6 months sober now. And it does seem like on average the attendance is younger, but it's not exclusive. You know, there's people of all ages at these conventions, and I'm looking for some adult in the convention to help me feel safe. Like, if the people are being too crazy, I kind of want to know that I can at least talk to someone who's old timer to help me feel normal again. But it's good fun to dance until 5 a.m. and stuff. Anyway, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Right. It was good to hear that at least you can have fun when you're sober, because many of young people are afraid that is life going to be boring if you don't drink anymore, and what will become of me if I don't like go to the clubs and stuff. But apparently you can go everywhere you want. Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Because you have come from States and yeah, mm-hmm. you have been to what was it? LAC bar?
Yeah, I went to LAC Paw, which was, there was two things. There was an event. We went to an amusement park, like roller coasters. That was nice. And just seeing all those young people. I've been to a few young people events. My favorite was I got sober at 19 and I was in college. And I went to an event at Halloween, the 31st of October. And it was like a little party, a dance, a meeting. And I came back to college and everyone was like stumbling drunk. And I was like, this is feels so good. Like I'm a part of something bigger. But the best one I went to was this convention in the middle of California. And I went because I started getting involved in the fellowship. And it was just 1,400 young people. I thought there was at least 2,000. And it was just so rewarding. And I had so much fun. It was really, it was the best thing I've done.
Sounds amazing. Did you say 14,000 or did I?
100. Oh, so 2,000.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I was thinking like, that's a lot. like even 1,400 is a lot.
It's so nice to see everyone in one room and just having a good time and enjoying life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really special.
Cool. Erika, you said yesterday when we were having this bigger meeting, you have been in AA for like, what was it, 2 years? Or?
Yeah, a little bit more than 2 years, yeah. Hmm. I actually sober up online, so I'm Zoom recovered. And I started my 24 hours when I was in the pandemic, so like only following online meeting. And I actually crossed the IPA convention because I did service in ISMIPA during the not this ISMIPA but the last year. I was doing I was interpreting actually and doing translation for all the speaker, and so I discovered these young people convention online, and I was I don't know, I was so attracted, and I saw this incredible enthusiasm and joy, and I really wanted to be part of this, and so I said, okay, the first convention they will do in Italy, I will come, and there we go. Actually, it's my first physical convention actually, so, and I think that the energy is incredible. I have the impression that I know these people since ages, like if we are friends, very, very old friends, and yeah, it's like a family. All over I go, wherever I go in the world, I feel like there is an AA family waiting for me. So, and this is something very, very beautiful, and I don't think that it's not possible to have fun without without drinking. Actually, I do believe that I am so joyful and so free, and so and I have much more fun now than before. So I do believe that these events are amazing, and I do encourage people that are in early sobriety to really take part of one of them, because they will come back home with an incredible energy.
Yeah, I have actually the same experience. When I was 2019, I was 4 months sober, I think, at the time. And I went to Baltica, which is like in Baltia. And that time it was in Riga. And I really felt that, like, when I had only been into meetings in my hometown Helsinki, and then when I went to Riga, and it was amazing. There was like people from America and all over the Europe, and then the atmosphere, as you said, the energy is so different compared to anything. Because usually when you go to a meeting, it's quite like, you know, calm, and you don't like hassle that much, but then in here it's like so different. You're shouting. it's so funny. What's actually there's like showering in between of the meetings. So, Simon, do you know what's that about?
So, for example, if you're reading How It Works, the reading starts, you know, rarely have you seen a person fail. But actually, in the original version of the Big Book, the way Bill wrote it, it says, never have we seen a person fail. And apparently the way that editors were arguing, they thought it's too harsh to say, never have we seen a person fail. We should say, rarely have we seen a person fail. And the young person's AA crowd, when they start that reading, they say, never, in response to the person reading, rarely have we seen a person fail. And I think the shout-outs, they're playful, but underneath they have a kind of serious understanding of the history of AA. And it makes it more interactive. How it works is, at least for me now that I'm sort of 9 years in the program, it's a reading I can kind of fall asleep to. It's really important to me. It was a, you know, really important part of my sobriety, but... I hear it so many times, but when I first started to hear it read out at these young people's AA conventions and all these shout outs, you know, like when they read the traditions, they say, we are but trusted servants, we do not govern. And they yell out, but trusted. And it's just like very playful and silly and joyful. And, you know, we're not a glum lot. And I think that that's like really apparent for me in young persons AA conventions, that they play with the message, but they don't make fun of, well, they don't devalue it. If anything, they kind of increase its value, because they show you that you can have fun and still practice a good program. So I think all of the shout outs started back in America at the Icky Park. And it migrated over to Europe, and we have it now at Italipa and these other conventions. So I guess that's where the history is from.
Yeah, it's interesting. As and when you said that, it's like every time we are somewhere in like these AA conventions, it's just, it's a demonstration of like how big this whole thing is. Like, it's funny when you go, when I went to AA, first AA meeting, I just thought that, okay, there's going to be like, you know, like bums without no teeth and like hardly any shoes, or they're going to smell like piss, you know. And then when you realize that the AA is all about like it's so much bigger, and it's actually like international, and that's even like great. And as Erika said, that it feels like family. And I do. I met you all yesterday and still feel like I know you better than most of my friends, because I know that we share the same like sickness, and we have this common solution. Like, we know our, I don't know, could you say that our like basic like life principles are the same, maybe? I don't know. Could you say it like that way? But How did you find like coming here, like people not talking that much of English and stuff?
Oh, for me, yeah. I felt it's very comforting, because like all my life, like I feel like we're very misunderstood as individuals. Like we're too drunk, we're not drunk enough, and we feel alone at parties. And I don't know, I get very obsessive about things, relationships, all this. So it's nice to like finally come anywhere around the world. Like I opened up at a meet, or not opened up at a meeting, but I was at a meeting, and I just like turned around and I said, thank you, because you can go anywhere in the world. Like I'm 6,000 miles away or 10,000 kilometers. My conversions are off, but it's okay. But I still feel at home. It's very uncanny and very, it's beautiful. So yeah, even if they're speaking another language and all that, it's very, it's nice because you know what the message is, and that vibe is the same.
Mm.
The energy is the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I was thinking about if there's any younger like listeners on the radio now listening to the, like this program, and they're maybe thinking about quitting drinking, and maybe even they have tried. But what would you say, Erika? Like, maybe just share your own experience. Did you try quitting before you came into AA?
Yes, I did. Actually, I tried several times to quit drinking. I actually went to therapy, different therapy actually, and sometimes I was able to quit drinking for a few months. But never really worked for me. But I don't think I can say to someone, to anyone, when is the right time for you to join AA. It's not. I mean, I can carry the message, and I hope I'm carrying the message at the moment, but you have to really reach your rock bottom, and when you feel it, then you're ready. Because if you are not ready, you can join AA, and maybe if it's not the time for you, you will probably relapse and then come back another time. I do believe that for me it was very important to be open-minded, to enter the room and to really sit, listen to people at the very beginning and try to understand where I was. And they were talking to me because their story were, were actually my stories. And I was silent and quiet at the beginning, just listening, because I tried everything before entering AA to stop drinking. And I just came to believe that I wasn't able to do it myself. So I needed something greater than myself. And finally, I found AA. But I was desperate. And I think that my desperation was was actually what saved me in the end, because I was open to listen to a different solution. So I will suggest, even if in AA we don't give suggestions, just our experience. So my experience will say, just go to the meeting if you feel like you really you really reach your rock bottom, and listen to people. Be open mind and don't judge, even if you don't understand everything immediately, because it's not easy. Just give yourself some time, at least to figure out if you are an alcoholic, and if we have a solution that is a solution that works for you.
Yeah, I have actually that. Like, I was thinking the same. Like, I had heard about AA like so many times before I came into AA. I had a couple of friends who had quit drinking and using drugs, and they were saying, like, if you want to someday go there together, they can take me there, but I wasn't interested. And I tried my best, like, I was going to therapy as well, and I tried the underboost medicine, which is making people like that they cannot drink, but I still drank, and I still actually started to use drugs during that, like, when I was having the medication, and nothing could like stop me from drinking or like using anything else. But I wasn't ready. I had at least three times I was like mentioned that, hey, do you know that there's like this place called AA, like it could be something for you? And I was like, no, I don't want this yet, like I'm not interested in that. But then when the time came, like I had been drinking for like basically a month, or I had like a rougher week, so I had been drinking like straight up five days, and also I came like I got this like delirium like already, and I actually came paranoid and started to like strangle my sister, and then I realized like, okay, this is choking? Strangling? But nevertheless, I came like physically like violent, and then realized that like this isn't me, and then it like shook me, like, okay, maybe it's time to go to AA. And I don't know what was that, like, that was like just an like really odd idea, and I was like, no, I'm gonna Google it. And then I went to my first meeting, and It was just like, I didn't know what's rock bottom back then, but I just knew that this isn't me and this isn't what I want. Like, yeah, it was so different and heartbreaking even. And yeah. And when I heard other people share it, I could really like relate, as you said. Like, it was such a relief, you know, when you hear for the first time, you think, like, first you think that nobody will understand you. And even though you have spoken about this stuff in therapy or something, but I was always so like dubious. Like, I couldn't get anybody good, like, to actually understand me. I couldn't like connect to people or talk to them like earnestly. But yeah, when I came here, I understood finally what's wrong with me, and it was such a relief. And it's just, it was such a relief when they said that, okay, this is something uncurable. This is, you cannot like cure from alcoholism, but there's a solution. And it was the best feeling when you like heard this in the same, like, you saw actually that these people have, they have something, they have a solution for the alcoholism. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this, actually. I tried to stop drinking several times before entering AA, but for an alcoholic of my type, if you take me away the alcohol and you don't put anything else at the place of alcohol, won't last very long. So for me, it was very important, this, the program of AA actually gave me a solution, and I needed something after I quit drinking, because the emptiness that the alcohol left in my life was extremely big. And AA gave me a program and a solution for this, and that's what I needed at the place of alcohol. And this is the reason why we keep coming back, actually, because it's not like a permanent solution that I took it once and I'm good forever. It's something that I'm really taking care every day, day by day, like a small plant in your garden, you know. It's something that you really need to pay attention to and put effort, do action, and go to meeting and carry the message of us.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, kind of like yours, well, I can share a little bit about mine. What scared me was, long story short, I wanted to stop. I really did. And because my dad's in the program, he's sober. And I was dating someone at the time, and I just saw how it changed people. And I swore it off forever, and what is it, with and without a solemn oath. And it's from the literature. And so I was just working out one day, and this guy came up to me, good friend, I mean, a friend of mine, and just offered me a drink, and I said, yeah, drink it. And that scared the shit out of me. That was probably one of my most scariest moments of my life. Because, like, it wasn't even a question. It wasn't even a thought. It wasn't intuitive action. It was just, bam, done, in my system. Wow. Didn't get drunk. That was the only time I've had one drink. Next few times, there was one time where just something didn't go my way, and I really wanted to kill myself. And I was so, like, wanting to find it. And it was something so little, too. And then the final time, hopefully, God willing, the final time, I was trying to fight my roommate when he hid the alcohol. I kicked my buddy out of my bed when he was sleeping. I feel like for me, my bottom was so much so that I was someone else when I was drinking, and I had a personality, and it wasn't me. And I'm just so grateful that every day I'm so willing to just come back and be like, please, God, like, even in moments where, like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit, like, crazy again, and just not wanting to control everything, when I can just let that control go and just be, it's that it helps me in AA, because I'm like, well, I don't have to just allow anymore at people that generally care about me. So it's a lovely experience. It's friends you can never It's I don't even know how we relate to each other. That's something that I don't get, because it blows my mind that there's the four of us in this room. Like, we can relate to each other better than most people I'll ever meet in my life. It's just, it blows my mind.
Simon, you've been in program, did you say 9 years now? Yeah. How would you, like, there's, as like mentioned earlier, there's a program, and we are talking about it quite many times, and it's basically meaning the 12 steps, which is kind of famous already, and the modern ages, and people tend to know, but what are they about? If you would, somebody would walk up to you and ask you, what's the 12 steps about? How would you say them? And do you have an experience of them?
Yeah. So if someone were to walk up to me and say, what are the 12 steps? Sounds like a funny, funny situation. I think probably they're a newcomer if they're asking that. And I think, you know, well done for walking up to me. And it's something that's difficult to describe briefly, but I mean, it's a transformational process. Maybe that's the quickest description I can make of it. Transformational process, you know, a lifelong process that you do each day, that I do each day. And it has saved my life. Yeah. I have formally, you know, done the 12 steps, and I continue to maintain them on a daily basis. And yeah, I got to this place where I was so broken. I couldn't stop drinking. And when I tried to stop, it was so painful that I had to start drinking again. Or plan suicide. And so, you know, the step one is kind of, are you powerless? You know, I had to admit that I was powerless. I constantly thought about alcohol. I actually felt more powerful when I was drinking alcohol. I felt more creative and funnier and a better dancer. And although videos show that I wasn't any of those things, but yeah, I have to admit, yes, I'm powerless. You know, whenever I'm not drinking, I'm thinking about drinking. Whenever I'm drinking, I can't control the amount I drink. So, you know, and that was actually humiliating. As much as I tried to tell people, you know, ah, it's so funny that I, you know, I stripped naked in the jacuzzi and I rolled around in broken glass. Ah. It wasn't funny at all, and I was humiliated. And I did think about suicide a lot as a way to get out, because I didn't know what to do. And then step two, made a decision to turn my will and lives over to the care of God as we are. Oh, no, that's step three. Step two is sanity.
Came to believe
that greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Yeah, I have a problem with, you know, a sort of traditional religious God, but I would say just be open to the idea that you can get better, you know. And that the sponsor I got at the time, I didn't ask him to sponsor me, he just started helping me, you know. And he told me, just, do you believe that you can get better? You know, you can see that other people in AA are okay now. They're not constantly thinking about drinking and stuff. You know, is that enough for you to believe that you can get well? And I said, yeah. And then step three, to continue with that, you know. My sponsor said, step three is just the decision to do the rest of the steps. And I really like that, you know. And step four, all the baggage, all the people I hated in my head that I would decide to get revenge on, or, you know, the jealousy I have for different people, you know, all this, these thoughts that would swirl around in my head when I wasn't drinking or when I was drinking. I didn't have to carry that around anymore. And I was able to tell those things to my sponsor, and all the regrets I had, I could tell them to my sponsor, and I didn't have to carry them around anymore. And he gave me this perspective of, like, you're not alone, and I did many worse things than you. I mean, that was a huge relief, and also scary, that this man that was helping me was way worse than I was. But he was calm, and he was okay. So I was like, okay, maybe I can be okay as well. And that was a very freeing part of the steps. You know, it is a transformational process. There's a guy in my hometown AA meetings that says, the same person will drink again. You have to change. I have to change, or I will drink again. I have to constantly maintain this. But it's not a chore. I do it gladly, because what I get in return is I feel comfortable in my own skin. I can connect, like, honestly with other people. I can dance like a maniac on the dance floor without worrying what people think about me. I can be productive at work. And I can make real, intimate connections with people, you know, a true partnership with another human. And that's all I ever really wanted when I was drinking. I just wanted to connect, but I didn't know how. And I would always drink too much and actually disconnect and cut people off and cause a lot of pain. So I'm talking a lot now, but I would say 12 steps is a transformational process. By the end of the transformation, and throughout the transformation, actually, I get connection. You know, I am able to connect to another person and the world around me and nature and the present moment and my body. And I love it. I absolutely love it, you know. I can talk about it for a long time because it's very important to me. It is the most important thing that I've decided to do, and I decide to do it again every day. Yeah, so this poor guy that's walked up to me and asked me what the 12 steps is now. He's received this lecture from me. If he's still listening, you know, well done. But yeah, it's... I'm very grateful that I did listen in the early days, and I kept coming back. And I would go to meetings and not want to be there, but I felt safe. That was enough for me. Yeah, okay, I pass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hop on. I think, too, it's the 12 steps for me. All right. That poor guy kind of turned to me. I'd be like, dude, ditto. Like, you do the 12 steps. But for me, I would drink over trivial behaviors. What do they think of me? Oh, shit, drink. You know, like, oh, I didn't do this. And then, like, the next day, it'd be fine. I'd be like, hungover. I'm like, oh, it worked out, or it didn't work out, but I made it so much bigger in my head. And what the 12 steps does today, especially, like, around this time, I've been doing, I feel like there's been parts of me where I'm like, oh, like, not present, focusing on external behaviors, and I'm able to present myself and pause and look at myself and change. And it sounds scary, change, but like, whoa, but more like, I'm able to finally live in the solution, like Simon was saying, like, be able to be happy in my skin and not looking for an external resource. But it's nice that you have a way of always looking back at yourself, like, oh, this, and you let things go and you feel forgiveness. So I've had some relationships that were not the greatest, but it's nice being able to see the person happy and genuinely out of the kindness of your heart smile. as they're happy. Like that, I can't describe that feeling. It's something I always wanted when I was drinking. Was just, I don't know. I actually didn't know what I wanted when I was drinking. I just didn't want to feel anything. And now I feel a lot. It's sometimes tough, but I'm so grateful I get to finally live a life that I'm grateful for. I'm from America and I get to live in Italy for summer. It's a dream come true. So yeah, it's definitely thanks to the 12 steps and just talking it out to people, feeling connected. And so I pass.
Thank you.
But for me, the 12 steps actually were very important. Firstly, because I finally give I stopped directing the show of my life, and this was very important for me. I was a very controlling kind of woman before, and now I know that you can call it whatever you want, God, tree, universe, I don't know, or a door, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, your high power. But the point is that there is something that I recognize is directing my show now, and I'm just living and let it be. And this is very important because I take myself out of the picture. And the 12 steps were very important for me also because I learned how to look at my part in all the relationship. I was always pinpointing other people and other people mistakes. Now I know even in the biggest fight, there are always two people and there are always two different point of view, and I have to look mine. So I try to keep clean my part of the street, and this was something I wasn't able to do before. I was always feeling the victim of situation and people and and everything. So now I know that if I look at my part, I can feel better, because that's the only one thing it's really important for me. And the last thing is really the fact of pausing, breathe. I was speeding so much before entering the program. My life was going so fast. And I really realized that I cannot make good decision when I'm running all around the world all the time. I need really to breathe and stop and pause and ask for really a right to or action. And the worst decision of my life are the decision I made only listening to my head and my sick thoughts without sharing with anyone else. I learn to really listen to other people, and my mind get clear this way, and I can really make better decision, and also to listen to something greater than myself that is always giving me the action I have to take that time, because the things are going exactly as they were meant to be. It's just a matter of put myself in a position of listening that I wasn't doing before. I was just going this way, and now I go slow and listen, and this difference of staying in the everyday life changed completely my relationship, my work situation, and my staying in the whole world. And this is something for which I'm really grateful to the step. To finish, just to say the last things, the fact that we keep on carrying the message for me is very important, because this means that this program keep on tell us to stay always connected with other people. Connection is really like the opposite of addiction. So if you want to fight addiction, you need connection. because addiction is isolation and loneliness, and it was my favorite sport before. I was always in my head. Mm-hmm. Now I try to share, and I really feel so good going to other people and staying with other people. And you cannot beat it alone. I thought that I can do everything myself, but I know that you do everything better with other people. This is really a we program, not just me and myself and I.
Yeah, this is a lot for the guy who is asking for a simple solution. I just want to quit drinking. What should I do to become sober? But it's, yeah, I totally agree. I was like, as you said, I was also, I couldn't understand when I was drinking that all of my like lifestyle was related to the alcoholism. Like I was high achiever, you know, I always rushed into places. I was kind of like impulsive, you could even say. I couldn't recognize it. I was like, I'm just like this straightforward and like a little bit pushy person, but nevertheless, I thought that it's just me, you know, there's nothing like, and then I realized that somehow my life is miserable, and I try to find something to like fix. Mm-hmm. And I usually thought that it's just that, you know, guys I'm dating, like there's something wrong with them. And I remember so many discussions with my friends in a bar, like over a like pint or something. And I was like, can you actually imagine what he did and stuff? And I was like always trying to like find the reason from the guy, like there's something wrong with this guy. And yeah, but I somehow knew that there's some, like, I couldn't find the answer to that, like, why did he do something and why, like, yeah, there is always so many unanswered questions. Like, and yeah, I couldn't actually realize that that was also part of the problem. Like, I just thought that, okay, it's only just the fact that I drink on weekends, but I couldn't like figure out why am I drinking. And it's just like, yeah, program is so like, it's so beautiful from the like fact that you get to see all of the reasons why you have been drinking and cleaning the house basically. And or it's a metaphor, but yeah, nevertheless, it's just so pretty, like, yeah, you know, when you're like, there's no, like, no shame, like, in you, okay, some shame, of course, I get shame if I do something wrong, but I mean, like, there's not that much shame anymore about the stuff I did, because I knew somehow, like, intuitively, I knew that I was doing something wrong. I wasn't doing it, like, I wasn't doing good for myself. So it's like, it's, you know, when you go sleep and you know that there's nothing, like, going around your head, like, anymore.
Mm. Yeah, about the fact of feeling shame, I mean, it also helped me a lot to take myself less seriously. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you start better knowing yourself, you can also make fun of yourself. So now today it's not that, yeah, okay, I know I have this character defect, but today I can, for example, make fun of my ego, for example, or my other character defect, because I saw them from different perspective. When I was in the cloud, when I was still drinking, nobody could tell me anything. I was so aggressive, and I was like, "What the fuck do you want from me?" Or I was going into an argument for sure, you know, because when you don't know yourself, you feel attacked by all the possible points. And you just feel like you want to be defensive, you know? But when you feel fine with yourself, you relax, you chill, you know, okay, that's what I am. You accept yourself completely. You, like, really hug yourself with the better and the worse. And then, okay, if someone tells me something about my defect today, it's fine. I can take it. And this is something I also have to say in AA, because it's good to laugh about life. It's not that I mean, life is hard, of course, but it's not that that's hard in the end. It really depends on how you look at things and you take it as well.
And also, like, I love that. Yeah, you have fun with it because you get to know the solution. And for me, I feel like before I do something, and there's two types of pride. I feel like there's pride of I'm better than everyone, or there's pride of I'm the worst person on this earth. And I think it's nice that AA, you start working a life that you're proud, you're happy about. And it's not like either of those. For example, I went out with friends and I learned later on they weren't true friends, but I was being at service. I made sure they got home okay. I made sure this guy they met up was good. And I went home because I told them I was going home at this time. They're like, oh, this. And they're drinking all this. But I thought to myself, they have a quote where it's like, you're a living example of the big book. Meaning, like, you're doing things to show people what AA is without telling them, I feel. And I went to bed and I was all pissy. Like, they wasted my time. How dare they? The selfishness. And then I had a thought, like, I'm going to go to bed. And I'm not ashamed. I didn't break anything. I didn't ruin friendships. I didn't almost hurt myself or die. Like, I mean, wake up in jail. Like, I'm going to bed and waking up and feel good about myself because I did the right thing. And that was a cool feeling. And I realized, like, when I don't have that, there's something I need to look at because I'm starting to do my old ways. And it's nice. It's nice not having to feel, what did I do last night, instead of, I did this, and I either had a really fun time, or I did something I was proud of, or there's something I need to work on, but at the end of the day, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you mentioned something about if there's somebody who doesn't know anything about AA, you mentioned sponsor earlier. What's that?
Yeah, well,
it's giving me a hard question. For Simon, I
don't need that. It's the
hot seat. Yeah, this guy is walking up to me with all these questions. I might be asking him for help soon. So, yeah, I didn't know what a sponsor was when I first came in. Actually, for a while, some guy just started helping me. I didn't ask him to be my sponsor. I didn't know what one was. Yeah, but I would say a very brief summary of what a sponsor is someone who has been through the steps, who is willing to take you through the steps. You know, they have an experience of doing the 12 steps and they're willing to share it with you. And that's about it. And at the moment, I don't have a sponsor. I have a fellow traveler in another program. And he's more like a friend. You know, we work the steps together. And that really helps me. Like, he doesn't tell me what to do. I don't tell him what to do. We just sort of have suggestions for each other and we share what worked for us. And it feels very equal. Like, it's two-way. I help him, he helps me. And the style of sponsor I used to have in the past was very, he was above me. He was telling me what to do. And maybe that worked for me at the time, but right now I seem to benefit much more from a kind of friend style sponsorship, where, you know, we'll play Xbox for a few hours and shoot some baddies and then we'll go eat together and then we'll talk about step work or whatever. And that suits me quite well now. So yeah. Those are my ramblings to this poor guy who's looking for help.
Yeah. And if somebody is listening to the previous, maybe the AA radio tapes from the previous ones, sponsor in Finnish is kummi. So if you're wondering why haven't they been speaking about sponsors earlier, but that's the translation. But yes. Hi. And the big book which we are talking about is the Alcoholics Anonymous book. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What else?
You said that, Erika, that you have been in AA for like 2 years now, and you came here when you were like over Zooms, and you have been going to the Zoom meetings in the internet for like
So actually, I entered the room before the pandemic. I was going to, I went a few times to Italian meeting in person, but I was not that attracted at that time because I was not understanding and they were old people. And I was feeling like, oh, what I'm doing here with these people? They are so old and we don't talk the same language and so on. But I was going and listening. But I was still drinking, actually. Then the pandemic came, and I was lucky because, actually, because of the pandemic, my company was having a difficult time. And for this, we were not working. We were in this cassa integrazione, so I don't explain this in details what is this, but it's like when a company is closed for temporary because of a pandemic, and we just got this government stuff, and we will come back at work as soon as the pandemic is over, no? And so I had time. I was at home, and I had time to have two or three meetings per day, which was very useful at the beginning because I needed to do a lot of meetings because the first 24 hours are the hardest one because, of course, you still have the alcohol in your blood, so it takes time to get over it. And for me, it took me 3 months. And thanks to the pandemic, I started going to different meetings because I could choose. No matter, you can go wherever in the world, actually, because you don't have this obligation to go to the meeting that is closest to you. So, for example, I had a sponsor and he was American, and I actually worked the program with an American. So... I work the program in a different way than the Italian one and the Italian ones, and not a lot of people. Now I'm back to the physical group, and I do service in a physical group in Italy, and not so many people in the group they actually work the program with the sponsor, for example, because maybe it's just different, you know. And so it's good what I took from the pandemic. And also for me, it was very useful the fact of opening to so many different meetings in all over the world to do service in an international convention like ISMIPA. We were from all the countries, you know. And to be able to choose a sponsor, whatever. And now, for example, I have a sponsor that she's Italian, and but she's not, she doesn't live in my city, for example. So we still meet on Zoom, I think that Zoom was an amazing pandemic saved my life. Let's say first, pandemic saved my life, and secondly, I do believe that this is. Where the message has to go right now, because Zoom really opened the possibility to recover to people in an extremely remote area, people that normally aren't able to go to a meeting because they are too far. You know, when we start, Bill Wilson has just a few, there were just a few meetings in the US, and then he started sending this book by post, via mail to people all over the world, and then the group start to... Now, with the online, even if you are sick, or even if you really live in a super remote area, you can connect and recover, you know? And this is an amazing new point for the organization at the moment. And we don't want to lose it. There is this... situation at the moment, not the, like these two ideas. Should we come back only to the physical and leave the online now that the pandemic is almost over or not? I do believe that it's very important to keep this. And as every change takes time to enter in the normal way of being and in the normal way of doing things. But the online doesn't have to disappear for all these people that are still in remote area and cannot go to meeting, because we are giving them also the possibility to recover and to live a better life.
No, I agree with that. COVID is, I meant Zoom or whatever we use, is unbelievable. It was nice because the newcomer, me and my sponsor have talked many times about this, and he's been around for a while, a few decades in the program. But it's nice because, like, if you're terrified going by yourself to a meeting and people are in chairs, and even though it's people really friendly and there's usually a greeter, but here and there, you can go with, like, your family member or friend, and you're just on a Zoom meeting in your comfort of your home, like maybe your dog's next to you or something like that. So it's a lot peaceful, and I'm just adding on to your point, I hope it stays because I love it. I'm secretary at a meeting that I got sober at in person. They went online. Things happened, but there's two meetings, but they're the online version, and it's 8 a.m. in Pacific time in the United States. And then I come to Italy, and I was like thinking, could I do it? But I can, because it's 5 o'clock here. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. I get to see the people that really helped me get sober, and now I get to help others. And I love the online, and yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's nice to meet the like people who are who you have like seen when you have first been like. When you became sober, it's so lovely to meet them. I mean, like, it's just like a reminder of yourself, like what I used to be like. Mm-hmm. But Simon, now an easier question for you. Have you liked to be in Italpa? Was it nice? Had it been nice?
Oh yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed it. This is the third Italpa I've been to, and. Yeah, so far so good. We went to Bologna city center. I had some really good pizza. I had some gelato ice cream. The ice cream was so rich that I needed to like take a pause between each lick, which for me is difficult, you know. I still have addiction problems, just not to alcohol anymore. Or drugs, but yeah, ice cream is becoming a problem. But yeah, I've enjoyed it. The people are very hospitable and friendly and warm, and yeah, so far so good. And I keep coming back, you know. I really enjoyed the first Italpa I went to in Milan, and then Vicenza, and now here in Bologna. So yeah. It's an expensive problem.
We have had worse. Yeah. But yeah, if somebody is trying to find information about AA, you can find a Finnish website from aa.fi. And what is it in English? Is it just aa.com or what is it?
.org. aa.org.
Yeah. Org. Okay. Yeah. So go there and find a group if you are interested. But we could now end up with serenity prayer. Should we do it in English?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Not in Italy, yes.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right, let's go. God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the differences.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.